Inside in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Josh Rogan of The Washington Post. And Josh has new observations about how the State Department is approaching China gingerly, I think is the general word, softly, consistent with soft power, and yet leaving out large pieces of the concern throughout Asia. And I take Josh back in time to his January column about the Prime Minister of Japan, our able and potent ally in Asia. Prime Minister Kishida made it very clear that Japan sees China as a threat to the region, a growing threat, very dangerous, anticipating all of this. Josh, I'm puzzled about the relations between Tokyo and Washington when it comes to the scale of the Chinese threat to Japan. Are they candid with each other, even if they're not candid in their press releases about the risk?
Well, John, I think it's clear that Japan is calling on Washington and the Biden administration specifically to step up its game when it comes to increasing deterrence against the Chinese military, increasing its focus and attention and resources in East Asia. And yeah, they're communicating clearly. They're just not getting the answers that they want. And if you think about it, the fact that Japan has decided to double its defense budget over the next 5 years, double to make it the third largest in the world, coming from being the ninth largest in the world, should tell you something. It should tell you that tensions with China are not actually rooted in some sort of dangerous Washington groupthink that's cooked up by hawks on Capitol Hill or something like that, which is a common narrative that you'll hear these days. Oh, well, the United States is pushing China to be aggressive. Well, that doesn't explain why Japan would take this unilateral move, or why South Korea, for that matter, would also take a very bold move this month to join with Japan to form a military cooperation and a technological and economic cooperation meant to, again, respond to increasing Chinese aggression. And, you know, the Biden administration says the right things, but there's a gap between what they say and what they do. And it's hard for our allies in the region not to notice that. And, you know, this also relates to other things like LNG and energy exports, right? And if we want our allies to be on our side on the issues that we care about, we have to be on their side on the issues they care about. And in Asia, that's energy and trade and investment. And these are the weakest parts of the U.S. strategy in the region. So, you know, the countries that are nearest to China are on the front lines. They are have the most acute and most immediate and most comprehensive sense of the threat. And they all say it's rising. That doesn't mean they want to increase tensions. That doesn't mean that they don't want to have good relations with Beijing. It just means that they can't prioritize that above the need to actually address what they see, which is China's military expansion, economic aggression, and internal repression increasing on all fronts. And yeah, I think that the United States and its allies have very good communication, but that's only a precursor, not enough to solve the problem.
Taiwan. The issue of Taiwan comes up at the Munich conference, and your column in February takes us to this dramatic moment. I follow your reporting. Former German diplomat Wolfgang Ischinger politely asked Wang Yi, the chief diplomat of the People's Republic of China, asked Wang Yi to reassure the audience, watching very carefully, that a Chinese military escalation in Taiwan was not imminent. Said the chief diplomat of the People's Republic of China, "Let me assure the audience that Taiwan is part of Chinese territory. It has never been a country and will never be a country in the future." Now, I read that in English very carefully. How is that heard at the State Department? Is that a statement that the State Department makes repeatedly to the People's Republic when Wang Yi speaks so belligerently before the international community?
Right. No, I was in the room when Wang Yi said that. And from the European audience, what you heard were gasps, because, of course, it's plain to see that a Chinese invasion of Taiwan is not, in fact, imminent. They don't have the capability at this moment to pull it off, but they're building that capability fast. So it would have been very easy for the Chinese foreign minister to say something nice, to appease the European crowd, to continue his charm offensive and to say, don't worry, we're not going to attack imminently. But he went another way with it, and he decided to be belligerent and raise the rhetoric and the threatening comments. And there's only one reason that he could be doing that, is because that's what Xi Jinping wants him to do, because in that system, that's the only message that plays on Taiwan. He doesn't have a choice. And that's a dangerous situation. And I think the Biden administration, State Department, they look at that situation. They say, well, you know, we better increase our attention to Taiwan while decreasing the tensions in the region. They don't like it when Nancy Pelosi goes there because it gives Beijing a chance to rattle its saber. But the reality on the ground is that the arming of Taiwan and for its defense against the Chinese invasion is going very poorly. There's a huge backlog of equipment. The European nations are not on board. The U.S. messaging on whether the United States would actually intervene has been all over the place. And the Biden White House and President Biden often say completely contradictory things. And that's a messaging and a diplomatic mess. But more importantly, as the balance of power across the Taiwan Strait tilts more severely in Beijing's favor, the risk goes up. And I think that's a problem of deterrence that we should have learn the lessons of after our failed deterrent effort in Ukraine.
Your most recent column mentions an exciting development, the conversation between Tokyo and Seoul, between Prime Minister Kishida and President Yoon. Certainly that is an advance of the region. Is this in part because they have doubts about the U.S. and its opposition to China's aggression? Or is this the State Department blessing this conversation between two powers in Asia?
I think it's more the former than the latter. I think that America's allies in the region question America's commitment to its role as a global leader for good reason, because we just went through 4 years of an administration that was chaotic at best and neglectful at worst of allied relationships, and especially in that region. And who knows what the next president is going to do when it comes to things like Taiwan or keeping troops in South Korea or Japan, for that matter. Yeah, so they're forging an alliance amongst themselves, and they're inviting us to join it, which is a should be a wake up call for us in Washington that these countries are concerned that our commitment to the Pacific region is waning, and that we should do something about it. And I think there's an awareness of that, but not the requisite action to fix the state of affairs, which is getting increasingly more dangerous as America continues to be distracted.
Josh Rogan for the Washington Post Global Opinions, right now about soft power towards China. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.